Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Many people today, Christians included, live by what they see and what they experience. For the unbeliever, this is absolutely natural, since he is dead to all things spiritual, numb to all true needs, only paying attention to what touches upon his bodily senses, without any proper regard for the soul, or the ailments that are in the soul that might affect the body, or those ailments which afflict the body and also then afflict the soul. They just are spiritually dead to know any of it. But such is not supposed to be so amongst you reborn and regenerate of Christ. Suffering is universal. Everyone experiences it to some degree or another. It is a mark of existence in this fallen world. Many, of course, especially the unbelieving, think this can be fixed if we just try harder. So there are ideologies that are come up with that create ideal situations, utopian dreams. That if we just did it this way, it would all work out. But in practice, they never work out. And of course, these ideologies are especially catastrophic in the hands of unbelievers. That something always just seems to unravel every good effort or intention. That something is called sin. Suffering is caused by sin, that being sin in general. Yes, sometimes suffering comes because of an actual sin, something specific, that specific sin that brings specific consequences. But in general, in this fallen world, there is just a suffering that comes from existing as sinful creatures amongst other sinful creatures, among a creation that is falling apart day by day a little more because of sin. Sin then causes physical suffering. The very fact that our bodies are not perfect as they were when they were first made in Eden shows this. Now, unlike Adam and Eve, at that point anyway, now our bodies break down. They don't work right, either from the start or as life goes on, they stop working right. They mutate. There is pain and suffering in the body, and this is the fruit of sin. Yes, original sin, but in some cases, actual sin as well. Sin then causes suffering. If you look at the scriptures, this is what it lays out throughout it all. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, Cain kills Abel, causes sorrow and tears. Absalom rebels, Achan steals, Ahab covets and murders for the sake of a vineyard. These are just a few examples, but they are ones in which they can point out very clearly that suffering followed all of these sins. Sin then also causes mental suffering. First, that trouble that happens in the conscience, which directly then tears into the mind, that a man might commit a moral wrong and his guilty conscience will not allow him rest. But then also patterns of habitual sin make for addictions, which rewire the brain for more sin. Gene codes are corrupted as the degradation of mankind continues from generation to generation and the brain doesn't work as well. The mind suffers from all of this internal stuff and then, of course, is afflicted by the wrongs all around the outside of it as well. Pressures and strains and stresses, the weight of the world's sin piles on, pairing with the corruption inside to both undermine and yet overwhelm the mind. Again, sin in general has made this possible. Sin then brings all kinds of suffering to others. The erring son or daughter, breaks the mother's heart. The selfish and lazy father brings hunger and want to the family. The self-absorbed and distracted mother denies love and nurture to children require. The angry husband drives the wife away in fear. The usurping wife undermines and denigrates the husband, and thus herself and the family with him. Marriages not cared for result in broken families, and especially then children who will never know the full goodness of family again. That sin, as a state of the world, being under the curse of sin, also then brings us disasters. Disasters meant to call us all, and yet us all individually, each and every one of us, to repentance. So we have hurricanes, fires. We have other disasters of nature. Everyone, of course, then chimes in and wants to fix it by talking about policies and climate control. But no one bothers to think for a moment that these judgments have befallen us, that we would turn from sin and toward our God. That's their point. Repentance. Not that Asheville or Sheridan are any greater sinners, but that you individually repent as you hear and you see the scenes unfolding in these places. That nothing in all of this creation will avoid the last day. And the unbelieving world, of course, can only ponder a world that just goes on and how it depends upon them to save it. But again, they don't know anything about spiritual things. They don't know sin as a cause to all the ills around us. Sin also then causes many other evils and that only magnify the suffering of mankind. Things like wars, just like the ones being craved for in our nation and others around the world right now. Few of us, of course, can imagine the actual ground-level suffering that war brings for those who exist in the places where they take place. But sin is the cause. Whether it's anger that is festered and been allowed to grow, or greed, or covetousness, or the dehumanizing hatred for others, a denial of who Christ actually died for, a disregard for brothers and sisters in Christ who live over there in that place where the war is being thought of. But all of it's sin. Sin which destroys. That's because sin is always destructive. It destroys the body, and the mind, the soul, property, good reputations, faith, and love. This is what we fail often to see about our sins, that they are destructive. They are never neutral things, harmless things. They always do damage to ourselves and likely then to others as well. Everything that is wrong in the world, all the things that are broken, all the things that are breaking, all the things that are falling apart, all of it is the work of sin. Now, what I have in length described of sin is only that which is around us or inside of us right now. That if we considered sin to what it does regarding creatures to their creator, it would be too much for us. It's sin. Violently severs this beautiful communion of creature and creator. Sin can so grieve the Holy Spirit to send him away from us that we cannot know this without understanding what hell actually will be at the last, but only having a few glimpses that the scriptures provide about such separation from God. And this is why. This is why in our text today, Jesus deals with the greater problem of sin first. That the paralytic obviously had physical suffering. Jesus telling him to take heart also shows that he probably suffered mentally as well. While he does heal both the body and the mind here, Jesus forgives his sin first. Jesus knew the root problem for this man's suffering, and he does for yours as well. You see, billions today go to doctors and hospitals and the treatment centers seeking help and healing. And God indeed has blessed those things to help and to heal. But these people, their minds are upset, their nerves are unstrung, their bodies are in great distress, that mortality, death, the wages of sin is brought to mind by such things. But all too often the soul is not. That as they receive care for their bodies and even their minds, the conscience and the soul within are then tempted and drawn to despair, which is an affliction of the mind rooted in the soul. That they and everyone who suffers needs more than physical or mental health care. That since everyone suffers, then everyone needs more than just physical or mental health care. That you indeed are more than just your body or your mind. That your soul is a crucial part of you, and it affects your body and your mind both. Christ our Lord knows this. This is why he didn't just heal physical ailments, but that he did these miraculous things in order to prove that he had authority over such things, and thus he also then had authority to do the greater things. Even in front of people who couldn't ponder the spiritual disorder at work within them. That the miraculous healings, they weren't the end. But they were done to prove himself as the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's the goal of the healings. The goal is the greater thing. The goal then is why Christ went to the cross to pay the penalty of sin. That forgiveness would be earned. The debt of sin be fully paid off. The wages of sin, that is death, be defeated. Undone. And that the resurrection on the last day be set as the day of the restoration of perfection to both body and soul in all creation and into eternity. That will be the final healing that is coming. That will be the time of full healing for the body, for the mind, and for the soul. Not just temporarily until something else might afflict us, but it will be full and final healing. And that healing begins with the greatest thing, the forgiveness of sins. This is why the church has been given the gospel, the good news of Christ's work to earn our forgiveness, and not just ours, but forgiveness for all. That this gospel then, it cures souls. It changes hearts. It puts the mind at ease by reconciling us with God by his blood. And all of this because of his never-ending love and grace toward us. That in the end, his love is greater than sin. His love, shown in his own suffering and death and sacrifice, erases sin. And he never refuses to help anyone in need. You see, what no philosophy of man can do, what no scientific discovery can accomplish, what no form of government, no elected official, no policy, no effort of mankind, no matter how unified it may become, what none of them can manage to do, Jesus has done. Jesus has washed and cleansed us from our sins. Jesus puts a song of forgiveness into our hearts that our mouths might sing. That hopelessness and despair, they don't need to grip upon us, because he abundantly pardons us. And this is why the gospel is good news. There is something greater than sin. It is the love of Christ for poor sinners, whom he forgives and saves. That the love of God in Christ Jesus is greater than all the mess that sin piles up and piles upon us. Take heart. Your sins are forgiven. It's not my forgiveness for you. It's not Pastor Bakey's forgiveness for you. It's Christ's forgiveness for you. And he is the one who commanded it to be spoken to you today. For the beginning of the healing that he will bring to full fruition on the last day by the resurrection of the dead. That's when sin will be fully and finally gone. That means there'll be no more suffering. No more physical suffering, no more mental suffering, no more suffering from what others have done to you, no more suffering of disasters around you, no more war, no more destruction, no more separation from our God and our Creator. And all of this because of Christ, taking care of the greatest need of mankind, earning the forgiveness of sins, and then so freely giving it away, as he does for you today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.